Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I am so excited to be here with you for season 8 of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. So a few months ago, I posted on Threads wondering if anyone would be interested in coming on the podcast as a guest. I could not believe the response I got. Hundreds of people reached out saying they wanted to tell their story on the podcast. Well, I can't interview hundreds of people for season 8, but what I can do is ask people to fill out a form and then fill out a Calendly and then schedule those conversations. And so without further ado, here is an episode recorded with one of my new friends on Threads. I hope you enjoy.
Sean Quintero, he, him, is the host and executive producer of Proud to Lead, a long-form interview podcast celebrating LGBTQ plus leadership across business, politics, faith, and life. As a bisexual founder and the COO owner of Next Step Social and Podcasting, Sean brings both a personal stake and a professional eye to every conversation, interviewing trailblazers whose stories deserve the platform, the depth, and the production quality they've earned. Sean, welcome.
Oh my God, thank you so much, Dubs. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to be here with you. How are you doing? How's it going?
I'm doing really good. You know, we are recording this about a week before Pride Month, and this is my first Pride being fully out and visible, and I am, like, so excited.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, truly.
I'm so excited. I am attending our local Pride parade, and it's my first one, and so I made a decision. I'm actually going to volunteer for it for, like, the first, like, a morning shift so that I can, like, meet people. I find, like, volunteering gives you a great opportunity to just meet people and get to know, like, all the people who are involved in it. So it's an easy way for me to just make friends and connect, and then the rest of the day I'm gonna enjoy the parade, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible. I also, like, love volunteering because I can sometimes be socially awkward, and so to have, like, a role and a job is really helpful for me. And it is such a great way to meet people. And I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. Just tell me what to do. And I can then be social once I know what to do. But it being my first one, I actually volunteered for the info booth, which is, like, the easiest thing to, like, know all the things that are a part of the community in my local area. So I'm really stoked. I'm also really nervous because I don't have an outfit yet and I need to figure out what I'm going to wear.
Yeah. Well, I don't have advice there. I'm not fashion forward. I'm wearing a Dave Matthews shirt from 11 years ago, but I wish you all the best in finding your perfect Pride outfit. And, you know, perfect doesn't exist. Whatever
Exactly.
You wear is going to be incredible.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And I can't wait to hear how it goes. So in that same vein, like, we're here because we all have multiple coming out stories, coming into ourselves stories. And I would love to hear one of those stories that you'd like to share.
Yeah. So I knew I was different since 4 years old. I knew I was attracted to men and women since 8 years old, but I didn't really understand what bisexuality was. I thought that as a teenager, I thought I was a gay man who happened to also like women. And I didn't really have language to be able to communicate what my lived experience is. And I think that's why visibility for me is so important, is because it gives examples of people who are living life in the same way that others are. And it gives people permission to say, oh, that is the best way to communicate what my lived experience is. And so I didn't discover the word bisexual until I was, like, 22, 23. And it was in a random bookstore. I was reading a book. I don't even remember what book it was, but I remember reading the word bisexual, and it was like, oh, I've never heard that term before. And if you are familiar with, like, strengths finders, one of my strengths is learning. So I will dive super deep into a topic and obsess about it for, like, 2 months. And so I dived super deep into what bisexuality was, who, all of the famous writings around it were, all of the art around it, and truly being able to understand, oh, what is this experience, or what is this language that's accurately communicating the experience I have. I grew up also in a hyper-religious, evangelical, alt-right, MAGA supporting church culture and family culture. And so I was doing all of this kind of in the background, kind of hiding a lot of the kind of research and hiding a lot of myself. I've known my now wife since I was 11 years old, though, and she was the very first person I told, hey, I like women, but I think I'm also gay. And we became really best friends, and I fell in love with her, and it was really confusing for me because I thought, well, I can't be with a woman if I'm gay. And the only thing I thought was, well, I like women, but I also like men, so that must mean I'm gay. And that was the only language I had to communicate my lived experience. So when I discovered bisexuality, I discovered something that it was really eye-opening for me and gave me a lot of permission to truly just be myself. To myself and to my best friend at the time, who is now my current wife, and so who's now my wife. And so I had to do a lot of unraveling and revealing like who I really was to myself and to my wife before I even felt the courage to come out fully public. That meant unlearning the things I believed about myself. I used to believe that this fundamental part of myself had to change in order for me to be lovable, that this part of how I experienced the world was wrong, that it was shameful, that it was sinful. And I had to do a lot of unlearning because I was told, all of the stereotypical sayings of it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I was told that I had demons possessing me, and I can't tell you how many times I've gone through pray the demon out experiences. I was told it was because I liked Lady Gaga's album, that, it was only making me gayer. And I had to do a lot of unraveling and kind of removal of that shame. And by doing that, I discovered that my silence around my bisexuality, I'm married to a woman, I'm living a quote unquote, what others could see or perceive as a heterosexual relationship. I had to unravel a lot of that beliefs because the silence, I could have remained silent. I could have continued living my life without anybody knowing my sexual orientation, without anybody knowing that I was attracted to men. But I discovered that my silence became so heavy to bear, and that I was constantly on the lookout for what I could say, what I couldn't say, how to speak, how not to speak. I mean, I remember really looking at my doing vocal training of how can I have a deeper voice, doing literal just walking training of how can I walk in a less flamboyant or maybe less quote unquote feminine way. What are some of the topics I need to talk about? And then growing up in the church environment, I was sent to a lot of conversion therapy practices. There were practices where they made us play football because they thought that would make us straight. There were practices where they made us, drink beer because they thought that would make me straight. And so there were things that I had developed and kind of conditioned myself to believe that I had to really unravel. So when I finally came out, it was because the silence became too much of a burden to bear, and I wanted to truly just be myself. And I came out last year, right before Thanksgiving, which is the best time for family drama. But I decided that I did not want to go through the holiday season again, being hyper vigilant about what I was saying, who I was, how I was presenting, what I was communicating, what I was able to talk about. I wanted to just be fully who I was. And so I decided to come out so that the holidays would be so much more peaceful. And ever since coming out, it has been probably the most joyful and freeing experience of my life. Like I said, my now wife knew since I was 14 years old that I was gay who liked women. Now we have the language of bisexual. And our relationship has only flourished. The friendships that remained that were able to come to me and say, hey, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for you. I am honoring the freedom that you're now living in have deepened. And on top of it, the people who I was performing for no longer are in my life because I was perform the version of me that they had built a relationship with was a version of me that didn't actually exist. And so I could stop performing. And there's a heavy, heavy burden of having to constantly perform that I don't think, heterosexual people experience, queer people do. And having that burden lifted has been so freeing and so exciting.
Thank you so much for sharing. And just, congratulations for, finally kind of releasing yourself from the performance and from the burden and from the heaviness. It's major, and it's so real for so many of us, of those performances and the just like you said, hypervigilance and just like the monitoring is so exhausting, and it's so relatable. And I also know how challenging it can be to finally own your truth and come out and kind of see how the chips fall. And I'm just really glad that you have such a lovely support system and that you've been able to kind of like weed out the people who don't love and appreciate you for who you are.
Yeah, it has. I think about people who come out much earlier. I came out when I was 34 years old, and that was after having been financially well off, having a home and having a relationship. And, there were very few things that people could do to me because I came out, where if I were to come out, when I was 13, 14, I likely would have been kicked out. I likely would have had no financial stability. I likely would have not been able to, continue schooling even. I think there would have been a lot more consequences to me coming out sooner. So I think about people who come out and choose to live their authentic life in spite of those challenges. And I think, man, those people are so brave and so courageous. And it can be easy to dismiss my coming out story and saying, well, mine wasn't brave and mine wasn't courageous because you came out when it was easy for you. What I can say about that, though, is the mental and emotional and psychological challenges that and kind of strength it took for me to come out still, it was very real. I've been, there have been a lot of people who've even dismissed my bisexuality, who've said, well, you're just gay. You just haven't, you haven't accepted that part, or, this is a phase, or, there's been a lot of dismissive language, but I know my lived experience. I know who I'm attracted to. I know what my, what my identity is. And again, being able to kind of rid a lot of that shame. And it's still a work in progress. Like the truth is, there are times where I'm like, oh, there's still that tinge of sinful shame that I'm feeling, or oh, there's that tinge of identity that I'm still kind of working through. But I don't think that ever goes away. I think it's me now. What I'm choosing is not living a perfect life and perfectly free life, but it's me now saying I am willing to accept and love who I am, and now do the work of releasing all of that shame.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would never dismiss your story. That would be antithetical to my podcast and to my values. But I'm sorry that people dismiss your experience, and I think it's hard for people who don't have a queer identity, to understand the like evolution and the use the word a lot, like unraveling of things. And there's just, a lot of things we can discover as we continue living. And everyone's experience is different. And also to your point too, of the like, coming out when you're financially stable and et cetera, is a different experience than when a young person comes out and is potentially kicked out of their house. However, to your point, the like it there's a lot of emotional and psychological stuff that goes into coming out and coming into yourself. And so I'm sorry that people dismiss that. And I wish that we could all give each other a little bit more grace and flexibility and kindness, as we're all just kind of trying to find our way.
Yeah, I think about a world where sexuality and even gender identity is a safe category for people to explore, where it is a welcome and open space to say, "Hey, who are you discovering about yourself? What are you discovering about yourself today? Who are you becoming and who are you today?" And I imagine a world where teachers and parents and leaders and mentors create that kind of space and how much more peace, and how little, mental health challenges that and crises there'd be. And now, I have a daughter, and one of the things I'm so excited about, she's 3 years old. One of the bigger reasons why I chose to came out as well was because I wanted her to see an example of someone living fully who they are, and let her know no matter who she is, and the life that she chooses to live, that this is a safe family to grow up in, and this is a love, that love will always sprout here. And so my goal with a lot of my visibility, I have you mentioned I have a podcast now specifically for LGBTQ plus people. I'm volunteering with Pride. I'm starting to join boards of nonprofits that specifically work with queer people. And the reason why I'm jumping all the way in to support this community is because of the fact that I didn't have what I hope to be for others growing up. And I think just the smallest amount of visibility means the world to so many.
Yeah, it truly does. That's you had asked me before we started recording what I've learned in my 7 seasons of podcasting, and now about to launch my 8th. I just completely forgot what I was going to say. That very rarely happens to me in this.
I'll say one of the reasons I was so excited about your podcast is because of the visibility and like coming out stories are so important. Being able to hear how people have come out, how people have, really stepped into their full self is such an important mission because there's so many people. Growing up, I did not have any example of people coming out and being celebrated. Every single person who had ever come out in our church, they were kicked out, excommunicated, blacklisted. And so coming out to me meant losing all of the relationships and friendships and community and Wednesdays, Thursdays, Sunday events and, small groups and like everything that's involved in that. It meant losing all of that. And so now seeing how amazing the LGBTQ plus community is and seeing being able to hear stories that are on your show, I think is so important because it gives people a chance to hear people coming out and be celebrated as opposed to what I experience and what people today are still experiencing in many places.
Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Like mostly like the you were much more eloquent in what you said, but yeah, it's about one of the things I learned is just how important representation and visibility is, and how not only can it change someone's life, but more often than not, once we've experienced as a queer person someone like our own recognition of ourselves, it's like so many of us then in turn become the queer that we needed. And it's super special and it's amazing. Before we go to our final question, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your podcast and where can people listen to it and what have you learned on your podcast, and anything else we should know about it.
Yeah, so my podcast name is Proud to Lead, and I get an incredible privilege to be able to interview people who are elected officials or candidates for elected office who are also LGBTQ plus. There are 500,000 elected offices across the U.S. We only have 1,000 of them. LGBTQ plus, openly LGBTQ plus people hold only 1,000, which means we're underrepresented in elected offices by a very large margin. And one of the hopes and goals that I have with my show is to create visibility around those elected officials and candidates who are running for office. Because when an LGBTQ plus is in the room, it's very different from having somebody, fight for us versus having someone who is us, and they're fighting not just for us, but for themselves as well. It's also harder for people to create anti-LGBTQ plus legislation because then they have to look at someone who it directly impacts in the eye. They have to hear from them every single day. And so having advocates and people in office from Congress and Senate to City Council to I interviewed somebody who's running for the board of directors for their transit system, which just handles the buses and handles the trains. So no matter how much influence that position has, having people in those offices makes LGBTQ plus lives better. And one of the things that I'm learning is how, number one, how easy it is to run for office. When you think about elected office, I at least for me, it felt like such a big deal, but really it's a little bit of paperwork and getting people to support and donate to you, and then getting votes. And every single office matters. So when I was talking about the RTD board of directors, I didn't realize, when somebody gets kicked out because they come out as gay, what are they going to rely on for transportation? They're going to now rely on buses. They're now going to rely on trains. They're going to rely on public transit. And so having somebody who is LGBTQ plus making decisions on what bus routes are getting cut, which how expansive are we making bus routes, is so key because some of the poorest and most impoverished cities and neighborhoods are the ones that are likely getting cut first, because the people who are in office are more obligated to their donors as opposed to their voters and the people they represent. And then obviously, when you get somebody in Congress, they can fight. There has been a 10 years ago, there were about 27 anti-trans bills that were introduced in the legislation. This year alone, there have been 1,028 as of the last time I checked. So more than 1,000 just this year. And it's only accelerated. So the need to have people who are LGBTQ plus in elected office is more important now than ever. And so my goal is to create visibility towards these candidates. They're meaningful, long form interviews. So typically they're about 1 hour to 2 hours long, so you can really understand who this politician is. And we talk about LGBTQ plus issues, but we talk about a wide variety of issues as well. We talk about the war of Iran. We talk about foreign policy. We talk about, domestic policy. And so we talk about a wide variety of issues, and we always bring it back to, okay, how is this impacting the LGBTQ plus community? You can stream it on YouTube and just Google "Proud to Lead."
Incredible. Thank you for that. And does it make sense for me to come on? But I love that you have, folks who are focusing on politics, politicians and such, because everything you said is so real. And it is very easy to run. My brother ran for mayor of our hometown when he was 18 because he could. He's like, "Well, I legally can, so I'm going to." And
I love it.
that's how you do it. So, he did not win, but he was not last. So we're very proud of that.
Yeah. And something I've learned also about like not winning is there's so many offices that go untested. Like nobody's running against anyone. And so when we complain about the people in office, it's because nobody chose to run against them. So simply by running, you get your voice heard, you're able to build a coalition, and the issues that matter to you now have to get a response from the people who may win. And so go run. If I can encourage you, go find out how much it takes to run for city council, for mayor, for Congress. It doesn't take a lot to get started. So go get started. And then if you're LGBTQ, if you're queer, come be on the show.
Amen. Okay, so final question. No right or wrong answer. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Bagels or donuts?
That's a great question. Okay, every
Thank you.
Sunday morning we get donuts. It's part of our morning ritual. My daughter gets she's 3, so all she knows how to say is purple donut. So okay, we go get a purple donut. But I prefer a good bagel. You know, give me a bagel with some salmon, eggs. Like, it got to be a sandwich bagel. Oh, man. Some avocado on there. I'm from California, so you got to add that avocado. It's so good.
That's actually the right answer, bagels, but I don't want to isolate anybody. But Sean, thank you so much for joining me and for sharing so much of your story with us. And thank you for coming out.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Dubs. I so appreciate it.
Yeah, and enjoy your first pride
I know.
as an out person.
Okay, give me all the tips and advice I've heard. Stay hydrated. You can get dehydrated. Bring some snacks. Prepare to meet new people and have just a ton of fun.
Yes, all of those things and sunscreen.
Oh, good point. And walking
Yeah.
shoes is the other thing I heard is good walking shoes.
Yeah, all of that. Especially as us folks get in our 30s and 40s, walking shoes, very important. Somewhere to sit, somewhere to go to the bathroom, also crucial. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Debs.
Thank you for coming out.